What I wanted to bring before you tonight, briefly, is just a few thoughts from this text of Scripture, this passage of Scripture. It's a very emotional passage of Scripture. And as we look at just a few things we find here, we need to really know what all is going on in the prophet's mind as he writes these words with the influence of the Holy Ghost upon him. And so in order to do that, I want us to think about what Jeremiah is looking upon. I want us to think about what Jeremiah is lamenting over. I want us to think about what Jeremiah is praying for and what Jeremiah is pleading with. And so we want to know what Jeremiah is looking upon. To do that, we will turn to chapter 1 and we'll read a number of verses there. This will give us an idea of what is going on at Jerusalem in the time. For those of you who don't know, this is the prophet's lamentation over the sin and destruction of Jerusalem at the time of the Babylonian captivity and then onward as God's people continued to sin at that time and different nations were raised up in means of judgment. So we'll read in verse 1 of chapter 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces? How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy. And none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh. They seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Again, very sobering words. But this is what is going on in Jeremiah's day. And as he is looking upon Jerusalem, he is looking upon massive sin and destruction. And the very thing that he is looking upon is what he is lamenting over. And in Lamentations 2:11, he tells us explicitly, "Mine eyes do fail with tears, my bowels are troubled, my liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city." And in verse 48 of chapter 3, "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah is looking upon things that are grieving to his soul. The sin and destruction of Jerusalem was so great at this point that the temple had been destroyed. As we read, the heathen had come in. They'd made a mock of the Sabbath. They'd cause God's people to sin even more. And as Jeremiah looks upon all of this, he's grieved and he begins to lament over this sin and this destruction of Jerusalem. And it would be very easy to read through this entire portion and this entire book of Lamentations and come away very discouraged, because obviously these things are very depressing. The sin and the destruction of this once great and holy city where God had said His people would dwell there, that His name would rest upon it. But if we came away with just that, we would be missing. We'd be missing what the prophet brings home and what he is setting before himself. And so we want to see what Jeremiah is praying for in the midst of all of this, in the midst of destruction and the sin of the people. We see that the prophet is encouraging himself by the grace of God. And we see in verse 21 of chapter 3, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." These are mighty words. The prophet goes on in verse 31 and 32, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies." And in verse 50 of our passage, "Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven." And in chapter 5, verse 21, "Turn Thou us unto Thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." So though Jeremiah is looking upon this sin and destruction of Jerusalem, he encourages himself with the grace of God, with the mercies of the Lord that never fail. And he knows and he trusts, for the Lord will not cast off forever. He knows that God's promises are sure, and that this destruction will not last. And so what I want us to consider next is what Jeremiah is pleading with. And there are several things that he could have been pleading before the Lord, such as promises, but it seems obvious to me that he would have been pleading from 2 Chronicles chapter 6. So if you'll turn there with me, consider a prayer that was prayed by Solomon at the commencing, the finished work of the building of the temple that had now in Jeremiah's day been destroyed. So we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36, "If they," meaning Israel, God's people, "if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whither they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be opened, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. We have God's words to Solomon in chapter 7 confirming this prayer in verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. This is what Jeremiah, one of the promises that Jeremiah would have been pleading before the Lord. The promise of God that if he would turn his people from their sins and they would seek his face, that he would deliver them from their captives. That he would bring them out of this terrible sin and destruction. That he would bring a revival in the land. And for those of us who know the rest of the history, that's exactly what God did later on through the answering of the prayers of men like Jeremiah, men like Daniel. He raised up men like Ezra and Nehemiah, and he brought about a revival amongst the land. And so I wanted us to consider this tonight, because the day in which Jeremiah lived, though it was very hard and very dark, is not very different from our day. But like Jeremiah, or as Jeremiah, I think we need to take a lesson at how he dealt with this in his day. Very often we see things that are dark, that are depressing. We see things that are going on in the church today. We see things going on in our nation today. And very often, instead of dealing with it, we turn away our eyes. And we don't really want to notice what's there. But Jeremiah says, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. When Jeremiah beheld these things, he couldn't turn away. They affected his heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. When we see these things in our day, we cannot turn away from them. We have to behold them. And we have to let them affect our heart. It grieves me that very often in conversation, when I speak of these things with other people, we tend to talk about them. We tend to acknowledge that this is going on. But how often in those moments where the subject has arose, do we simply drop the conversation and we walk away? Instead of stopping in mid-conversation and seeking the Lord about these things, we will talk about them, we will acknowledge them, but we very often, even if we pray about them in our private times, very often we fail, at least I do, to stop with whomever I'm with and seek the Lord about whatever is going on. It would appear that Jeremiah didn't do that. His eye affected his heart. He couldn't go on just looking at it. It drew his heart to God. It stirred him to pray. And it didn't just stir him to pray about it and then be done. It stirred him to pray about it till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. And he pleaded the promise of God. That was his foundation for this pleading. God had promised that if this very thing happened, the people of God, taken out of their cities, out of their homes because of their sin, that if they would turn unto the Lord and seek His face, then He'd answer prayer. He'd revive His people. And He'd prosper them again. If we take a good look at everything going on in the church today, if we take a good look at everything going on in our nation today, and even the whole world, our eyes should affect our hearts. And I think, if we're all honest, very often they don't affect us enough. We have no shortage of things to pray about tonight concerning the church or concerning this nation. Jeremiah says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." But God has said, if they will turn, which is why he prays in chapter 5, verse 21, "Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old." God's people need to be praying this prayer, not only for the church, but also for the nation. The Lord is able to do things above what we can ask or think, exceedingly above what we can ask or think. So I would just encourage you to pray about these things that you've even seen today, things that you've looked at today that have caused your heart to be grieved, caused you to lament that this is going on without any repercussions, that a place that is called by the name of God, a visible representation of the body of Christ, a church, any church, could be doing things that go on in churches today. That should affect our hearts. That the things that go on in this nation that are allowed to go on without any repercussions. But God is able to turn us back unto Him. God has promised, if we turn back unto Him, that He will prosper His people, that He will revive us and pour out His Spirit upon us. "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." I believe we all know the matters of prayer for the people in this congregation. Mrs. Habegger and her needs. I believe Joseph Simmons is having surgery tomorrow. But I would encourage all of us to pray about these things that are going on that grieve our hearts, the massive sins of our nation that need to be repented of.